We're up to Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches. We started Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, we started Pasuk Yud Ches. Vatera ki misametzes hilaleches ito, vatechta ledaber elecha. Simply, this means that Naomi saw ki misametzes, she was determined to travel with her, and therefore, vatechtal, she stopped trying to persuade her not to accompany her. So let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk yudches va'techta l'daber elecha mikan amru. From here we learn a very important halacha. We have to always have to remember that all a significant chunk of the laws of gerus are learned from Rus. And here is one very important halacha mikan amru ein marbin olav ein medaktik him olav. We do not try to discourage gerim. If a person, we never go out and try to recruit. This is not a, we're not a missionary nation. We're not trying to recruit a converts, that's for sure. But what happens when a non-Jew comes to us and says they want to join? So we learned, obviously, from the beginning of the Sefer, that we discourage them. We tell them it's not so simple, and we reveal to them miktsas, ancient, some of the kalos and the hamuros. He give them a selection, a variety of a sampling of the mitzvos, some of the more severe mitzvos, some of the more lenient mitzvos. But then, this is a very important halacha, when they finally say that no, they don't care, they want to join Klal Yisrael. When it comes to that point, when they are determined, we learn from this pasuk right here, very important halacha, ein marbin olav ve'ein medaktikim olav. Once they are sincere, they're accepted. Once they're committed, you don't push them away, even if there are major problems. Even if you see there are major problems, you have to work. You are mechuyev to work with them and to bring them to become 100%. But you don't. If they're determined, they're committed. That's exactly what happened over here. Ki mesametzes hilalecha sito, that Rus was determined to join, to accompany. Naomi here means to accompany her and become a ger. Va'techta ledaber elecha. No longer did she tell her, "I'm not going. I'm going to discourage you from joining." Let's see the targum pasuk yud ches. Pasuk Yuches Tagum Bachamas. Bachamas means she saw. Arum means that. Me'ulma. Me'ulma is the translation of misametzes. Ulma means of power. Ulma means strength. Misametzes means she was determined. He limhoch. Limhoch means to travel. Ima. Ufisakas milimalala. And she stopped speaking to her. So he doesn't. The Targum does not add that anything that much more than we ordinarily expect. Okay, we mentioned just review. We mentioned last week. Misametzes he lalechas ito. We learned in the Drush. This Drush is brought down by Kadmon. I saw this already in a few places. Misametzes he lalechas ito, which means that Naomi saw that she detected subconsciously that she did not want to part from Rus. That really was a simon that she was sincere. Her sincerity was contagious. Vatere, Naomi saw ki misanetzes he, the word he, we mentioned this on Friday, we concluded with this vart. The word he is superfluous. The pasuk could have written simply Vatere ki misanetzes loleches ita. There's no need for the word he. The he is actually to indicate that we're referring to Naomi. Naomi saw that she wanted to accompany Rus. She did not want to party. It pained her if Rus would leave. That was an indication that her sincerity was complete, and she was willing to allow her to accompany her. Other commentators explain the misametzi lechas ita means that she couldn't keep up with her. We know that a gerim are called a sapachas li Yisrael. Gerim are called a scab. And there are different interpretations of what it means to scab. Some learn it in a negative form, that gay, when they convert, they're not really ready. They're not fully adjusted and ready for what it entails. And shortly after they become gayrim, they go back to some of their old ways. They can't hold themselves back from their old ways. And other people learn are affected by their conduct, and they drag down the better elements of Klal Yisrael to a lower stature because of their association with gerim. That's a negative interpretation of.
The opposite.
They're so good. What?
They come in with chumras.
Right, that's the other interpretation. That's the more.
Also a scare. That's also.
It's a tviya. It's a. So you're referring to the other interpretations that they come in with such enthusiasm and such love, such a hava, they make everyone else, the from births, look bad. They come to shul, you read about this, they can't understand how could you talk during davening. And all the people that have been from birth that have yichus, the biggest yichus going back, 1,000 from Moshe Rabbeinu, the biggest rabbis, they're talking during davening. And here you have a person who's a real goy. Just a couple of weeks ago, he was a real, real goy. And here he comes and he says, this is a house of worship. How could you possibly talk? So they make, they're a scab, there's a tzviya. Even a Kaddish Baruch Hu Yachol can say, if he could be so good, so why can't you? He doesn't have the background, he doesn't have the opportunities that you had, so why can't you at least be as good as him? So they call the sapachas, it's a scab, it's a tzviya on Klal Yisrael. So you hear someone to take that interpretation into this pasuk and say as well, ki misametzes is going on Naomi, like in the drush, not on Rus. Ki misametzes, Naomi had to exert herself to keep up with her. Rus was so excited, had such enthusiasm to join Klal Yisrael, was such a hislavus, and was willing to run to Eretz Yisrael to join Klal Yisrael. Rus said, wait, Naomi, the mother-in-law said, wait for me. I can't keep up with you. You're going too fast. I can't daven as fast as you. I can't walk as fast as you. I can't grow in Ruchnius. Right, I can't go so exactly. I can't grow in Ruchnius like you. So therefore, when Naomi saw that Naomi could not keep up with Rus, so she knew she's the real deal. Menela v'techdal l'daber ilecha. No longer was it necessary to tell her to step back and not join Klal Yisrael. She knew this was the real deal. Okay, so that's the second interpretation. The third interpretation is also a Jewish, and it refers to almost every single sefer I came across says the same thing. They connect this to the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We discussed this a while ago. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Reish Lakish was originally a bandit. He was a highway. A bandit, a robber. He sat by the crossroads and he robbed everyone. And Rabbi Yochanan said to him, "Chela le'ayrais." The Gemara summarizes the whole conversation that Rabbi Yochanan had with Reish Lakish in two words: "Your strength should be devoted to the Torah." He recognized that Reish Lakish had unusual koyches hanefesh, unusual koyches haguf, an incredibly talented, successful, powerful person. And Rabbi Yochanan basically said to him, "What a waste! You're taking your talent and you're using it to live a life of crime. Why don't you devote, you channel your potential, your koyches hanefesh, your physical koyach for Hashem, for Torah le'arais?" And the Gemara doesn't tell us all the details of the conversation, but Rabbi Yochanan succeeded, and Reish Lakish says, "You're right, I'm going to be chozer b'shuva." And then the Gemara says that this took place when Reish Lakish was on the other side of the river. And now when Reish Lakish wanted to return back to the other side of the river where Rabbi Yochanan was, and to enter the Beis Medrash and become a chozer b'shuva, he couldn't cross the river, because to cross the river you had to be an athlete. You had to be an Olympic, what's the name of that Olympic medal? The one?
Phelps,
right? So you had to be a celebrity in order to cross the river. So until this point in time, it was nothing, it was child's play for Reish Lakish to cross this mighty river. And now, suddenly, when Reish Lakish committed himself to be Chozer B'Shuva, the Gemara says he couldn't do it. He could not cross the river. He would just like Superman. He lost his super strength. So Chazal say, why? Because that's the koich of Torah. Torah metateshes koichoy shalodam. And it doesn't just mean that when the person learns the entire night, the person toils in Torah, he becomes weak. It means the commitment. Just the commitment itself. The yirah shemayim, the fact that the person has upon him the yirah saroimimus of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that alone weakens the person and requires him to draw from his adrenaline to overcome this weakness to succeed. And that's why Reish Lakish could no longer cross the river. It was extremely difficult. So Chazal take that Chazal Gemara and they connect it to this pasuk, Vatera ki misanetzasi leleches ita, which means that until now Rus was light on her feet. She was willing to run after Naomi and come to Eretz Yisrael. It was easy, but now after Naomi had a long conversation with her and told her how serious it is to become part of Klal Yisrael, all the rules and regulations, the mitzvahs, the punishments, what it involved, and then Rus said with sincerity, yes, I'm willing to accept, now I have a full understanding, the full picture of what it's all about, and yet I'm still willing to commit. So now it came upon her, this chulsha, the same weakness that came upon Reish Lakish, this weakness, the commitment brought upon her Torah, mitateshes koicha shaladam. And now when Naomi had Ruus, now when Ruus wanted to continue to travel with Naomi, misanetzes, which has the connotation she had to exert herself, she had to draw strength, extra strength that was not natural, to be successful in continuing on her journey. So we have Sacha Kol, I think four perushim on the word misametzes. Four major perushim. Number one, misametzes just simply means she was determined. Again, a very simple translation. She was determined. The Targum again said this word of ulma. Targum seems to say the most simplest form. Ulma. Ul means mighty. Just pashup shot. She was determined with a full commitment to join Klal Yisrael. The second interpretation, misametzes, is going not on. It's going not on Rus, but on two variations of what this means. It means Misamet says that she couldn't keep up with her. That Naomi had to apply herself to keep up with the koyach of Rus. The drush was ki Misamet says she yearned to be with her. She yearned to be with this holy neshama. She sensed that within herself. And the fourth interpretation, ki Misamet says, goes back on Rus. And here misametzes means that she had to overcome a weakness. The word misametzes has a connotation that there is a weakness, there is a problem, and the person now needs to overcome that problem by being mechazek themselves. And that's because now that she was committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she was overcome with this chul shatar mitateshes koichos shel adam. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk yotes. And they both traveled ad ba'ono until they came Beis Lechem, until Beis Lechem. They returned to Beis Lechem. When they arrived at Beis Lechem, teom is a confusion. Literally means a confusion or
astonishment.
Good word. They were astonished, aleihem, concerning them, vatoimarno, and they said one to another, hazos Naomi, is this Naomi? And take note that they did not make any comment about Rus. Rus, they did not know who she was. She was a newcomer. They never saw before Rus. What? So therefore, but with regard to Naomi, they said hazos. Now, there are a lot of things going on in this pasuk. Let's first take a look at the Rashi. Pasuk Yutes, vatelachno shtehen, and they both traveled. Omar Rabbi Avo, borei kama chaviva hager lufnei hakadosh baruch hu, kevan shenitna data lehiskayer. When Rus committed herself to convert, hishve oisa hakosuv leNaomi, the pasuk equates her to Naomi. How can you compare Naomi to Rus? Naomi was from birth. Naomi had yichus. I don't know the exact yichus of them, but Naomi, we have to assume, came from all the way back from Moshe Rabbeinu, going all the way back from the time of Klal Yisrael. Rus is a newcomer. She's only 5 minutes into her conversion process. And yet the pasuk says, "Stay what?" And not finished. There's a long way to go. And it's going to go, this process is going to go on for generations.
Well,
until David, even after David converted. They're going to still question until the time of Shlomo HaMelech, until Su'u Shurim Rasheichem, until the gates of the Beis HaMikdash will miraculously open to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has accepted David, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not hold the head of Basheva. Was the Miyaches all the way down? This is always under question, her Geiris. And but since now at this moment in time she committed herself to the Geiris process, she's an equal. This is an incredible Amar Chazal. The Chavivas Vehavta Nesager Ki Geirin Hayisa Mi Eretz Mishan. The Pasuk equates the two together. I always remember there was a story where a person a very Choshev Mishpach, a very distinguished lineage, he wanted to marry someone Reda Meshilach, and he really liked the girl very, very much, and he discovered that she was a Geiris, and he felt bad. Because, you know, how does it come, a person of such yichus, she should marry this girl who's a geiris, she doesn't have any yichus at all. It bothered him very much, but he really liked her. He really liked her, he didn't know what to do. Because I guess in his society where he was, you know, so he went to Rabbi Yashiv. And Rabbi Yashiv said, "Shall I marry?" So he told her, absolutely, you should marry her. You'll be mimikayim, besides all the other reasons why, besides the whole thing is an Irish guy, you're looking all the nichlas, she's 100%. Besides all the million reasons why you should marry her, there's another reason why you should marry her. You'll be mikayim every single moment of your life, v'ahavtem es hager. There'll be mekayim the mitzvah of ahava sager. We see over here in the Torah, in the Rus, Vatilachna, Kodesh Baruch Hu himself shows the love he has for Gerim by equating her to Naomi in this pasuk. Shtehem, they're one and the same. One with the words of Rashi, Amar Rabbi Yavo, Bo Re'e, come and see. Kama chavivim hagerim lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kevod shnid nadaita l'skayir ha'hishva ha'isa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'nami, the pasuk made her equivalent to Naomi. Vatim koloi, they were astonished. Vatim nases humoya. Humoya was confusion. Humoya is an expression which means people were confused. They were milling about. They were astonished. Why? So why is this so? So Rashi is quoting one of three. Rashi here is being selective. There's a Medrash Rabbah that tells us one of three events happened on this day. Kol hu'ir kulam niskapsu likbar ishtoi shel boya shemesa bo bayom. Rashi says that on that day that she arrived, it was a funeral in progress. And whose funeral was it? The wife of Boaz. It's like v'zorach hashemesh u'bo hashemesh. The day when Boaz's wife was niftar and he buried her, that was the day when his second wife, his zivuk sheni, Rus, arrived in the city whom he would marry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu for tzaddikim is mazmin their shleimus in every single moment in time. So here everyone was in a state of confusion, a state of bewilderment, a state of astonishment because they were mourning the death of a righteous woman. More than that, they were giving very great honor to their leader, to Boaz. Now, the Medrash says there are really two other things which potentially happened on this day. Some learned that this day was Erev Yom Tov. It was Erev Yom Tov and Erev Pesach, and everyone was getting together to prepare the Omer. We are aware that on the second day of the first day Chol Hamoed, the first day Chol... What?
Not Erev.
No, Erev Yom Tov. No, that, no.
Remember
they came. They came. They chalukei deos. Einoch hanamis. And the Medrash that
this one is taking
on Yom Tov itself. Okay, they're chalukei deos. Okay, we're talking about there are many different opinions. There are many variations. First of all, if you learn that it was the funeral took place. The funeral would have to take place on Erev Yom Tov. They didn't have funerals on Yom Tov. You do bury on Yom Tov Rishon, you bury Al Yidei Amamin. So maybe there was a funeral in Yom Tov itself, it took place in Yom Tov. Okay, but let's put that aside for the moment. First interpretation is, we're not focusing on the day of the calendar day, we're focusing on the event. The event was, there was a day when everyone came out to give to bury the wife of Boaz. Okay, second mention Medrash. It was, let's just work with one approach, it was Erev Yom Tov. Okay, or you maybe want to let's say Erev Yom Tov, and everyone was coming together to prepare the Omer. Now, what does that mean exactly? Let's take a step back. When do we bring the Omer? On the first day Chol Hamoed, which is the second day of Pesach. When was the Omer cut? The Omer was cut from the ground on the night before Motzoi Yom Tov Rishon, first day Pesach. Eretz Yisrael is only one day Yom Tov, so it's Mitzoy. They have a Seder the night, the following night. It's Mitzoy Yom Tov. Everyone goes out into the field and they cut the Omer, and the following morning they bring the Omer. So if that's the case, this would have to mean that they arrived. If everyone is they're cutting the Omer, it should be on the second day of Pesach. Why then does the Medrash say the first day Pesach? So we learn here in Minhag. It's a fascinating Medrash, and the Mefarshim elaborate upon this in more detail. Or Mechol, you're referring to, there are different Midrashim which you have to reference, but we learn here an ancient Minhag. The ancient Minhag was Erev Pesach. Everyone would go out into the fields. Thousands of people would go out to the fields, and they would designate and isolate a location where they would cut the Omer Motzoi Yom Tov. And in fact, they would tie it. They would take all the stalks that are growing in the field, and they would gather. They of course were still attached to the ground, but while they were attached to the ground, they would gather it together and tie it together and designate, this is the grain, this is the barley stalks which we will cut Motzoi Yom Tov. And this was done in front of a great number of people. Everyone, it was a ceremony, as if you had nothing else to do Erev Pesach, right? In addition to burning your chametz and selling your chametz and doing your last minute shopping and taking a haircut before chatzos, as if you're preparing, taking a nap, so you should be able to be putting the children to sleep.
They went to a hotel.
They had nothing else to do. Could you imagine? Remember a couple of years ago, it was Birchas Hachama, Erev Pesach? Okay, that made things a lot more complicated. It was a very beautiful Erev Pesach. Birchas Hachama, Kivosikin, everyone got it very early. So here, can you imagine Birchas Hachama? Can you imagine that there? It was a Birchas Hachama. Let's say you had a Birchas Hachama and all your preparations, and you also wanted to go to the ceremony of designating the Omer. Nowhere in the Torah does it say there's supposed to be a ceremony of designating the grain that you're going to cut for the Omer. It doesn't say this. And yet we see here from this pasuk, according to the Medrash, there was a ceremony, and it's not it was a custom, and it was done Berov Am. Only Beis Lachem was, I guess it was in the vicinity of Shiloh. This was the time when the Mishkan was in Shiloh. So I don't know, where is Beis Lachem relative to Shiloh? Does anyone have anyone familiar with the geography of Eretz Yisrael?
That's a little hard to understand.
How far is Beis Lachem from Shiloh?
Pretty far?
I don't know the answer. Yeah, and Shiloh, where is Shiloh? It's up north a little bit.
Yeah, somewhere in the north.
Can they know?
I don't know. I think it's like in the center of the country.
Okay, I don't know. It's a very, very interesting point. Okay, so this, so that now other midrashim, as you pointed, Michal, say no. What are they cutting the Omer for? They're cutting the Omer. It had to be done on the second day of Yom Tov, which makes more. That would conform with the other midrash that we learned last week. That Vatelachna Baderech Naomi and Rus were traveling on Yom Tov. They traveled outside of the Tchum. This was a Hayro Ashah. They're allowed to travel outside the Tchum because of the Sakana it was to remain in the land of Moab. They would become influenced by the people now that their husband and their son, their husbands died. There was no one protecting them. They would be influenced by the evil ways. So they were allowed to travel outside the Tchum. So they were traveling on Yom Tov. So they first arrived Motzai Yom Tov. That would fit perfectly if you learned that they were gathering to actually cut the Omer. Others want to suggest something very interesting, is that in this particular year, and this is a halachic issue, this particular year, Yom Tov, the second day of Yom Tov was Shabbos. So the first day Yom Tov was Friday. So then the halach is the cutting of the Omer doiche Shabbos. Definitely not. Well, that's the question. Is it Doicha Shabbos? So let's assume the first day Chol HaMoed was Shabbos. This cannot happen today, I don't think.
No.
Right? But during the time of Shiloh, during obviously the Mekadesh Al Pi Ariyah, anything could happen. So that means that Shabbos, was the first day Pesach, was on a Friday. So it was Friday Shabbos. So when do you cut the Omer? The Omer must be brought no matter what. The Omer is for sure going to be brought on the first day on the first day of Chol HaMoed. But the first day Chol... What? Is the cutting of the Omer?
The
Korban Omer. Yes. If Pesach, the Korban Omer is for sure, B'moedah for sure. But... So let's say the first day Chol HaMoed was Shabbos. You definitely bring the Omer on Shabbos. There's no question. But you're not allowed to cut. This is a question. I don't know the exact details, but according to this approach, the cutting of the grain, the cutting of the barley, is not Doiche Shabbos. You bring the carbon on Shabbos, but the cutting of the barley for the Minchas Omer is not Doiche Shabbos. So when's the next time you can do it? We'll do it the day before. But the day before is Yom Tif. And Yom Tif is a Malacha Shaloy L'Tzarech. Why should you be allowed to prepare cutting of the barley on Yom Tif when I'm not bringing the carbon on Yom Tif? I'm bringing the carbon the next day. So when is the next time when there's no problem of cutting the Omer? Erev Yom Tif. 2 days ago. So here it means they arrived, one of the Midrashim says this, they arrived Erev Yom Tif. That Midrash does not work with the approach that they were Mechalel Yom Tif by traveling on the Tchum. This is Machlokes.
Unless they traveled along a whole week.
Unless they traveled in a whole week. What do you mean the whole week? I mean,
it takes
them
a while.
Yeah. No, but there's no Midrash that says they traveled on Shabbos. The Midrash they traveled on Yom Tif. The only medrash that says they traveled was on Yom Tif. So what Yom Tif? What, on Sukkot? It took them 6 months. That's not Mestaver. It means Pesach.
Is that a universal opinion?
No.
That's what I thought, that you can't cut the
on Shabbos? I don't know the answer. I'm a little sketchy. I don't have to. It's probably fair. I think it's a machloikis. It's probably a machloikis in the Gemara. Is the cutting... Oh, but is the actually... That, everything was in preparation, but is the actual cutting of the Omer Doiche Shabbos? So I think this is a machloikis. Let's work with the opinion that it's not. So if it's not Doiche Shabbos, when's the next time? Well, the day before. But the day before is Yom Tif, the first day Pesach. So you can't cut it then either. So when's the next time you can possibly cut the Omer? Erev Pesach. So normally, so then you no longer need to come on to this approach that there was a minhag to go out into the fields and designate the barley that you will cut 2 days later. According to the first approach, it was a regular year. Regular year, the first day Chol HaMoed was on during the weekday, and therefore they would actually cut it on the first day Chol HaMoed at night. So, but here, if they're arriving erev Yom Tov, why then is everyone out in the fields preparing the Omer? They're coming to fulfill a minhag Yisrael, an ancient minhag which we don't know much about, and that is everyone erev Pesach went out into the field. And they designated a location from which they would all 2 days later cut the Omer, and they tied it, and everyone was there. There was pomp and ceremony to get ready for this mitzvah.
But really, they only had to cut one piece of Omer, didn't they?
A small amount, not one piece. The Mishnah is a Mishnah. It tells you exactly how much. It was a very small amount.
So you didn't have to designate more than one spot?
In a Chanami, they designated a very small spot, and they tied it. There was so little.
Everyone made their own thing?
No one made their own thing. There was only one of the whole Klal Yisrael. Only one of them. It was a very small. It's a Mishnah, Ferish Mishnah in Menachas. It was a very small area. They had bleachers. They had bleachers. Who are they mechabit? Which Rebbe? Which Rebbe got the covet of what do they do? It was a ceremony. That's what it says. It was a very big ceremony. And this wasn't even to cut it. It was just the designation. But if you want to learn that it was a year when the first day Chol HaMoed was Shabbos, they couldn't cut it on Shabbos. They couldn't cut it on Yom Tov. Then they were actually cutting it. It wasn't just a minute to get it. They were actually cutting the Omer. And that was also done in the ceremony. Everyone was there. Now the third part of the Medrash, which is very interesting, is why was everyone gathered on this day? Because there was a wedding taking place. Who was getting a wedding? Boaz was marrying off his daughters. It doesn't say one daughter, it says he's married off a few of his daughters.
One or more
daughter, which means they had I'm not sure why they had multiple weddings going on at the same time. Okay, but there were three saved money on the meal. Okay, save money on the meal. So there were three different events occurring at this point in time.
You can choose any one of the three. It doesn't mean that they all have to.
Right. Well, maybe it does. Who knows?
The whole idea is to explain.
Tell him, call her here. Why was the whole city? Right. Why was the entire city? But why were they even present? Naomi and Ruth were trying to enter under the cover of darkness. So why were they present that it should come to this Aleihem? It was like we'll come to that in a moment. It was a mazel that they had to be exposed. The whole world had to see.
The whole city, because it was Pesach, the Mishach, so he didn't have to pay for the meal.
Aha! There was a clever technique to save on the expense for the wedding.
But he could afford it.
Okay, but this medrash touches upon like three very different forms of gatherings. When you have a gathering, people are in a frame of mind. And then when you want to mix to that frame of mind, you mix the reaction, it's like a chemical reaction. One chemical alone is harmless. Another chemical is harmless. When you mix the two together, well, it also can... But when you add another ingredient, then there can be an explosion. It's anytime you mix together things, you don't know what's going to happen. So think about it. Think about it in reality. Let's say you're at a wedding. A very big simcha. You had a wonderful wedding. And while you're at the wedding, someone comes in and says, I got bad news to tell you. Something, you know what happened? Something really terrible happened. How do you react? I don't know. It's a very complex reaction because you're in a state of simcha. Not just a simcha for an individual, but for everyone is together. And now you're going from a very big high to bad news. There's a certain reaction. I don't know what the reaction is. Everything. What? Well, whatever you actually... Then think about it. Rachmana Litzlan, you had a funeral. A terrible tragedy. Rachmana Litzlan. And while you're waiting for the funeral to start, someone takes out their cell phone, their smartphone, and says, look at what happened. Bad news. Look at the terrible tragedy that just happened. So you're already in a state of... Oy. And now, more bad news.
But were you distracted from the initial...
Okay, so I don't know. Just a different type of emotion.
From what's going on. Now, for that minute or two, you're focused elsewhere. Same with the thing, with the simcha. You're distracted.
But it's a different type of... You're on an emotional roller coaster. What is your emotional state? So here we have three... These different events were emotional events. Either they were at the funeral of the Gadol Hadar's wife, Eishes Chaver Kechaver, or they were at a very great simcha, the Gadol Hadar, Boaz, Iftson, is making a wedding. The whole Klal Yisrael. This is the cover of all the blogs. They're showing the pictures, all the pictures. Who's there? So, or it was a celebration for Klal Yisrael. It was a celebration. You have to understand something. This celebration has a lot of significance. Let's go back to the Omer. Why do we bring the Omer? Why the Omer? The bringing of the Omer is a bracha for Parnasa. Okay, one of the midrash. The reason why we bring the mincha chadash shel Hashem kidei sheyisparchu haperos. The mincha is a blessing that the earth should bring forth fruit. The mincha you bring, the omer you bring, is a form of bracha for parnasa. We don't always look at Shavuos as a time where we're mispal for parnasa, but to a very great degree, that's what we're doing. Because fruit represents the fruit of the earth. The fruit of the earth represents produce, is the source of parnasa. And here we're discussing a tkufa of poverty, where Klal Yisrael now is recovering from one of the greatest famines they ever experienced, and now everyone is coming together, according to this interpretation of the Medrash, to bring the Mincha Chadosh Ola Hashem B'Shavu Oseichem on the Yom Tov of Shavuos to prepare for this Mincha, in order that there should be a Shef of Parnos and Bracha. And here walks in the person, Naomi, the wife, the Almana, of the person who is the biggest Gevir, the wealthiest person of Eretz Yisrael, who abandoned the Jewish people during their time when there was no Parnasa. So it's a very complex emotion, and they look at Hazos Naomi. Look at this. Let's go. So the different. If you learn that it was during the time of the Omer, they were preparing the Omer. Everyone here was on a high. Oh, the famine is over. The economists have predicted that the economy, we're out of a recession, there's no more depression, there's no more recession, we've been lifted, and now, in tremendous simcha, we're going to bring the mincha chadosh al Hashem b'shavu oseichem, kidei sheyisbaruchu peros haaretz, the peros ha'ilan, and now walks in a pauper. Who is this pauper? She's a throwback. She's a reminder of the worst time, the worst period of the depression, when we didn't have what to eat, and her only hope was her husband, who had all the assets, that had everything that he could have done anything to support Klal Yisrael, and he chose to abandon us, and he ran away. He went. Look at the mazel. Look at the hashkocha pratis. At this moment of change to going up in Parnassa, we have a reminder that Tehoim. They're shocked. Now we have more of an appreciation of the shock, the astonishment. What does this mean? Maybe it's a bad simon. It's a bad sign. That's how I would interpret it. It's a bad sign. Here, the country has turned around. We have Parnassa. And it walks in a reminder of our desperate state from years ago. So that put people a little bit off edge. If you want to learn that at a time of simcha, and who walks in? Walks in a triple header, a simcha of getting married is to build a new bias in Klal Yisrael. Who walks in? An almana, one of the most distinguished mishpachos miyuchasos in Klal Yisrael, Scharaf. We have a reminder of Churbin, a bias was Scharaf. She was Scharaf, her two sons died, and here she comes over here with a Moaviyah, a woman that's not even a Jewish woman. And you want to go learn, you want to add insult to injury, Boaz's wife dies, and now he comes, and during that event, in walks in Naomi with her two, with Rus. Also, so that is a different emotion. It's intensifying the Avelus, the Churbin of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we have over here three different approaches to what exactly happened at that point in time. Now there's another amazing hashgacha, is that, think about Naomi. Naomi obviously was very ashamed. You can't say otherwise. She abandoned, she with her husband abandoned their fellow Jews, and they ran away. She lost everything. She comes back. She probably wanted, I think we have a right to assume, she probably wanted to come in under the cover of darkness. No one should know that she has arrived. It couldn't have been worse. The whole Klal Yisrael came out to greet her, to shame her. I mean, you talk about horror stories. Even if you write, even
it was the middle of the month. It was a full moon.
The whole world came out. Look, the whole world came out to see her shame. It couldn't have been worse, right? It couldn't have been worse. So what does all of this mean? So what does this mean? So I don't know. The Mefarshim don't talk about this, but you can say either it came to intensify her nisayon. You know, she's coming. She could have turned back. I'm sure as she got near, she saw what was going on. Maybe she could have decided, you know what? Let me go back where I came from. I'll go back to Moab, whatever it will be. I can't suffer. I mean, you see people who suffer bizyonos. And I always say to myself, if I went through this bizyonos, I don't know. I wouldn't survive. I wouldn't survive one day. And I look at some of these people, and they keep their heads up, and they go forward, and they just take all the garbage. They take all the garbage, and they have emunah. I admire them. You know, people make mistakes. They make big mistakes in life, and they pay the price. But they're still able to go on, and it's something which is truly amazing. And here, Naomi here could very have easily just turned around. I'm not going to suffer this indignity. The whole Klal Yisrael is going to look at my shame. And yet she was able. So this somehow was an incredible nisoyin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented her, that she was shamed in a way that was way beyond her wildest expectations. To come back and it's hashkocha pratis. I have to come now when the whole Klal Yisrael is here. It's really mind-boggling. A lot of Sefer Ruos deals with, you know, you talk about the Megillah. The Megillah is the hashkocha pratis, the Yad Hashem. Ruos is very similar to Megillas Esther. This incredible hashkocha pratis, things that the chance of this happening, one in a billion. not even one in a billion. And yet, all of these things just happened to fall into place. She happened to come back, Bedafka, on the day when the whole Klal Yisrael is there to be mevazeh her. And then, it's Vayika, then going to back to the Perek Beis, Vayika, Mikra. It says explicitly, it was a chance thing that the field that Rus happened to go and collect, Leket, Shechem Peah, happened to be the field of Boaz. Hashkocha Pratis. Boaz's wife happened to have died. All of these things happen to come together, a whole series of events. There's an incredible similarity in the Hashkocha of Sefer Rus to Sefer Megillas Esther.
I'd say the same for the story of Yosef.
All the pieces had to fall into place in order to bring about the ultimate geula in Achanami, and that's what's happening over here as well. And we don't look at Sefer Rus in this light. We look at Megillas Esther in this light. We don't look at Yosef in that light. It's true. It's all very true. But when you look at Sefer Rus, you look at it deeply. It's the same thing. Like Megillas Esther, there's really no difference. All of these events had to fall into place at exactly the right moment in time to bring about the result. Okay. There's another thing Chazal mentioned here about him called Ha'ir Alehen. Here Chazal take note the entire according to the interpretation of Rashi that there was a funeral and everyone came, they give great shevach to Klal Yisrael that they have done tshuva for the opening pasuk of Sefer Rus. The opening pasuk of Sefer Rus is Vahi b'mei shefoit ha-sheftim, which we interpreted to mean a generation when the people judged their leaders. When a leader would say to one of the members, take the thorn out, take the splinter out of your teeth, so they would say back to the leader, yeah, you take out the beam between your eyes. They had no respect for their leaders. If you have no respect for your leader, you wouldn't bother wasting your time and going to the funeral of the wife of your leader. The fact that the entire Klal Yisrael, Vatim Kol Ho'ir Alehen, the entire Klal Yisrael came to give kavod to the wife of Boaz, with no exception, that goes to show that they did tshuva. They held of him. They held of their leader. They had respect for the leader to give kavod to him and his wife. And that is a very great mila, and the Chazal attribute, that's why all the things now begun to unfold, the gula began to come. Why? Now that they have done tshuva, they had respect for the leaders, there's fear, for there's respect, there's order, then the gula can proceed.
I don't know if you can broaden that idea beyond the Beis Lechem area, beyond Boaz himself.
Right. Kol Ha'ir, the entire city. Okay, okay, alright, okay, alright, alright, okay. Local, okay, but at least it was, at least to that degree. This is pointed out in the Chazal. Kol Ha'ir. Okay, another point, this is from the Bali Musar. It's a very frightening observation. They interpret this pasuk as a mashal for the neshama of every person when he arrives, achar, ne'a ve'eshem in the Olam Ha'emes. Person comes to the person in the Olam Ha'emes, person and healthy, and the person lives a normal life, so his relatives who are older than him will predecease him. Person will live to 120, so when his parents, when his grandparents, great-grandparents, and his relatives, and his contacts, his neighbors, who are older, so they're going to die first. So they're going to go, they'll die, they'll be in the Olam HaEmes, and then it comes this person's turn. He now reaches 120, the Malach HaMavis comes and says, buddy, you're coming with me. You're coming with me. And then the neshama goes to Ilabo MS, and everyone comes, oh, you know who's arriving today? You know who's arriving today? Little Johnny's coming today. And the Ilabo MS, they get word, there's a big announcement, new arrivals, who's scheduled to arrive today, little Johnny?
Yeah, you
and then they all come to greet him, they all stand by the elevator, and the door opens, and they all say, Hazois Naomi? Is this really little Johnny that we remember? We remember him as being a tzaddik. He was honored by all the institutions. His picture was in the newspaper. He had such a good reputation. Look at his neshama. It's filthy dirty. It's tainted with sin, with this avera. Kina, taiva, covet, hazois, Naomi. The neshama is ashamed. This event, they said, we remember you. We remember when you left us. We remember you years ago. This same thing with this reaction that the people of the city had to Naomi. They said to her, Naomi, we remember you. We live with you. You had a spectacular reputation. You were a beautiful person. You were a wealthy person. You were a successful person. And now we haven't seen you in a couple of years. And now you've come back. We don't recognize you. The neshamos and the olam ha'emes are going to say, Rahman al-Islam, the same thing about us. And the shame, oy lanu miyoyim hadin, oy lanu miyoyim habusha, when the neshamos who saw us leave or part from us, when they saw us, they knew us with one approach, when we were pure, when we were young and we were pure, and we have not yet done any averos, and now when we come back years later and they see the neshama tainted, staying with sin, it's a very painful experience for the whole year, for the whole Olam HaEmes, to come out and say, Hazois Naomi, is this the person I remember, the pleasant person? Okay, so this is something to keep in mind next time we think about doing an Avera. All right.
Isn't it something like a similar idea to the story of the Malachim when they come into the air where Lot is?
They were burnt up.
It's man, well, no, this man is Pesach, and Kol Ha'ir came out and saw them, and saw them, and who's involved? Lot, who is the judge at that time, he sits in front or whatever, so Boaz comparison.
Okay, Inochanami. Okay, another point. The Pasuk says, Vatelachna Shittehem. It should have said shittehen with a nun. This is a masculine form of the word. Why is it we're dealing with two women? Why does it say the word shittehem? So there are different interpretations. Basically means they disguise themselves as men. It's not the derech. Well, they acted in a manly way. Because it's not the derech of two women to travel on the road. Two women to travel on the road all alone from Moab to Eretz Yisrael. It's a dangerous journey to travel all alone. Only a man that is protected with an entourage of soldiers and weapons will do so. But it means they will moiser nefesh. They will moiser nefesh to come back. This is to their credit. They behave like men in order to return. Some people go so far to say that they disguise themselves. They wore clothing of men, in order that no one should bother them, which is questionable because this is the halacha, the silbash isha gever ish, a woman not wear, okay, maybe with sakana shah.
They
weren't sure because he was disguised. Okay, now there is one other issue, one other point. That Lot, here we have Ruth making coming to Eretz Yisrael. Here it does not say the word she returned. It said the word return before when she requested that she return. We mentioned the question: how can it be said about Ruth that she is returning to Eretz Yisrael? She never left. She was not part of Eretz Yisrael to begin with. So the answer is, she may not have been part of Eretz Yisrael, but she comes from Lot. And Lot was originally a settler in Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. He went with Avraham. And I separated, he separated from Avravino, he went to Sodom, but Lot, and then after Sodom was destroyed, Lot then he went to Tsoar, he had to distance himself further from Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, when Rus is described in these psukim as returning, she is returning because we connect Rus to her ancestor Lot. And the Medrash goes on to say that it's not just that she returned as a descendant of Lot who left, but it happened on the same day. The day that Sodom was overturned, according to the Medrash, was Pesach. So it's on that very day when Lot was expelled from Eretz Yisrael, and Lot started the process of his chatoyim, of it was recognized of his wickedness and his wrong decisions, his failed decisions in life. On that very day, here it was the bringing of the Omer. The whole Klal Yisrael was getting together to bring the Omer. The Omer is brought on Pesach. On that very day is when, once again, the return of Lot. Not Lot himself, but his descendant Rus Hamoavia, who came from Lot, now he's coming back. The influence of Avraham is there. It's all coming back. You have to remember, where does Rus, this is a very important yesod, where does Rus come from? Rus really comes from Avraham Avinu. It's only because of the influence that Avraham had over Lot did he nurture a spark of Kedusha. It may not have been ripe at the time, but that Kedusha that Lot drew from Avraham nurtured generations later in producing a Rus. Avraham, when Avraham left from Aram Naharaim to Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha, Mi Artzcha, Mi Meladcha, Mi Beis Avicha, Eretz Asharecha, he did not have to take Lot. He could have said, Lot, see you later. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. This is not your command. You stay where you are. It's only because Avram Avinu wanted to be Mekarev, to share the Kedusha with the world. So charity starts at home. Who did he take with him? His nephew. He has a nephew. He had a brother. His brother died, was killed by Nimrod. He has a nephew. His nephew, we could assume, would have been very happy to stay home in Aram Naharaim. He could have made a life for himself. Avram said, no, I'm not letting you stay here. You're coming with me. Hashem is giving me great reward, great bracha. I want to share the bracha with you. You're coming with me. You'll share the bracha. Lot probably, I'm assuming, was hesitant. Should I really go and take up Avraham this offer? He goes with him, and then Lot says, you know, it's not for me, I'm sorry. It's very nice. I see Eretz Yisrael. I just can't handle it. It's just not what I had in mind. I don't want to continue with this method. I want to go. Okay, Avraham is fine. You don't want, I understand. So make a life for yourself. And he made a wrong decision. He went to stone. But that period of time, there was a long period of time until Lot went and ran away and made a decision to leave Avraham. He was under the influence of Avraham. What was happening during that time? Avraham was nurturing Kedusha. Very great Kedusha in this person. That Kedusha wasn't ready yet. He wasn't able to handle it. But it was there. That Kedusha was created. It was dormant. And now, this potential was there. And then Lot went to Sodom, and then Sodom was destroyed, and he was nichshol with his daughters, and they went and they traveled far away, and they became their nation to themselves. They became Ammon and Moav. And now we have one of the descendants of Lot over here, Rus Hamoavia. And now, finally, that spark of Kedusha has mushroomed. And now it returns. It returns to what's called returning. And to show the Hashkocha Pratis that this is the true return, it's Bo Bayom! On that very day, when Lot was expelled, on that very day is when he arrived. Talk about Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, and talk about Pesach. There's a beautiful Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says that Pesach was the day of the Bris Bein HaBesar. So Chassam Sofer, he has rise to this. I don't know all the details. But Tesvav B'Nisan was observed in the 210 years that Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim as a day of mourning. Just like we mourn on Tisha B'Av, they mourned every single year, annually, on Tesvav Nisan. Why do they observe? They got together, they fasted, whatever they did for mourning. Why? It was the day, the anniversary of the Bris Bein HaBasarim. Ki ger yihyeh zaracha bi'eretz lo Elohim va'avodam v'inui oisam arba me'oshana. It was a day of mourning. It was the day that they arrived, according to Chazal. The day that Yocheved was born, it was her birthday. Pesach was her birthday. It was the day that they arrived into Mitzrayim. It was a national day of mourning for Klal Yisrael for 210 years. And then look what happened. And that day of mourning was mishapech to a day of redemption, to a day of geula, Pesach, Yontev of Pesach. The Chassam Sofer is exactly the same thing that's going to be Tisha B'Av. The ninth day of Av is a day of national mourning, the day when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. But on that day of mourning, well, one day we mishapech, says the Pasuk Navi, the days of Sasa and Visimcha, Tisha will be transformed into a day of Yontev. And that idea is really, where's the first time that parallel happened? Here, in this pasuk here. Here, Rus is returning. She's returning on the first day, Pesach. And when is she returning? On the same day when her ancestor was expelled. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. He's guarding the world events. The Hashgacha Pratis of bringing the ultimate bringing of Mashiach.
You're saying it's very pshat. They were disguised as men. So it says, "Vatelechna shteim ad bayana beislechem," and then they switched into the women's clothes. And it says, "Vatehen kol yaleihem." The city came to them as women.
As women, they are, now it's aleihem. Now they turn back into women at this point in time. Yeah, correct. Right. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Vatoymer aleihem. She said, Naomi said to them, Al tikrena li Naomi. It's interesting. It says Alehen with a nun. I do not know why it says nun. She only spoke to women. Tznius. Maybe she only spoke to the women. The women should go tell the men. It does not say Alehen. Okay, whatever. They have to be medayik. Why it says Alehen? Al tikrena li Naomi.
Because it was the women who came forward.
The women who came forward. Not necessarily. It says kol ha'ir Alehen. Va'toymarna. Okay, the women spoke to, okay, the women spoke to Hazos Naomi, that Toimer Alehen, so she responded, Al Tikrenali Naomi, do not call me Naomi, Krenli Moro, call me bitter. Ki Heimar Shakai Li Meod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has embittered me very much. There are many that you can. First of all, the greatest loss a person can suffer in this world is the loss of his name. The name is a person's identity, a person's essence. I'll give you a Moshe, fasting article. There's nothing to do with this, but just touch. Today's security, security, online security is a big thing. Cyber security, or in general, how do you protect your files, your email, and password? Right, you have a password. So today, all the hackers, they know how to break in, they can change your password. So they're developing, working a lot, spending billions of dollars, billions of dollars to develop new technology for security. So some organizations, some investors are investing in bio security, which means technology where you recognize your thumbprint, or the iris in your eye, or the way you walk, they identify your DNA somehow to identify who you are based upon your biology. And then there's a group of investors that are staying far, far away from this type of security, and instead they're working on better passwords. What's the machlegus in the industry? A password, if someone steals your password, you can always get a new password. I can change my password. I have a password, foolproof, and no one can hack into that, and someone steals it. But if someone steals my thumbprints, my fingerprints, there's nothing you can do. You're finished. Who knows, someone may be able to go and replicate your DNA, and then they'll be able to impersonate you, and there's nothing, you can't change it. What are you going to do? You're going to go and go to a doctor and say, give me new DNA so I can be a new person, so I can protect all of my information and protect my identity. There's nothing you can possibly do. Therefore, it's better to invest in technology of passwords and things like that, which if someone happens to steal your password, okay, so just prove who you are, we'll strain things and we'll give you a new password. Because your identity, once someone steals it, if that's going to be what the security is all based upon, and who knows, someone can steal your identity, then you're stuck. That idea is really brought out in this pasuk. They've stolen from me, Hashem has taken away from me my identity, my essence. And there's nothing you can do that can make me happy. A person has something, so you can take away their money, you can take away their family, talk about Eof, you can take away everything the person has. But they're still the person. You can't take me away. Until you take me from this world, I am who I am. You can't take away my identity. Here, Naomi said, I've suffered the worst of the worst. Don't call me Naomi. In other words, my name is my essence. A pleasant person. I no longer have a shame. I no longer have a name. My name no longer exists. I have no identity. Kirenli Mora, I'm a bitter person. Ki Heimar Shakai Li Ma'od. And this is her way of expressing her frustration that she really has nothing left in this world.
Say, what's your
and that's why she's...
Well, according to this interpretation, it's even worse. Loss of the two children, it's the greatest tragedy. But she's still alive. She's still a person. She's still who she is. But by saying that...
Why did he pick this name? He could have picked any name. Because she lost the most valuable.
The valuable thing, it's no longer pleasant. She lost her Simchas Chaim.
Exactly.
No, I mean, that's another interpretation. In a Chanami. Alright, now the Farshim asked the question, why does it say the word Mara with an Aleph? It should say Mara with a Hey. The correct spelling of Mara should be with a Hey. So the answer is that you find this every so often. Hey is the feminine form. Feminine means weakness. Aleph is used to represent masculine, and that is stronger. She means to say to accentuate, to intensify the degree of bitterness. It's not that just Hashem made me a little bitter. I'm extremely bitter. So we spell more with an aleph and not with a hey. Now she used the word ki heimar shakai li me'od. Why did she use the name of Shakai? Shakai represents she'omar li oylamoy dai. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, Hashem puts limits on. When Hashem created the world was unfolding, and Hashem said, dai, enough. The world has developed to the point, enough, let the people that come into this world, let them finish the job. I don't want the world to be a perfect world. I want man to finish, to be a partner with me, and let him perfect the world. Sha'omar, Shakai means Sha'omar, le'olamai, die. And Ami here was saying that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world has the need of Sha'omar, le'olamai, die, I was hoping that Hashem would say about my tzoros, die, enough. I lost my husband. No, die. I have to lose my sons? I lost one son. Die. Another son? Die. At least I have Parnasa. Parnasa? No, that also you don't have. Also you're going to suffer. Then coming back and suffering bizyonos. That also. Hashem kept on going more and more and more. I thought Hashem would say, die to my tzoros, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say die, but continued. That's what ki heimar shadkai. Li me'od, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made me extremely bitter. Let's see Rashi. Rashi. Now, you know, we didn't do the Rashi. I'm sorry, we didn't do the Rashi in the previous pasuk. So let's go back to the previous pasuk. We're at our time. So let's finish up the Rashi in the previous pasuk. Yates. Avateim. Ohazos Naomi. Okay, back in the previous pasuk Yates. Is this Naomi? Hey, Nukuda Chataf. The Hey is spelled with. It's spelled with achat of patach, memneshi bitmiya hazos, because that's how it's a question. Hazos nami, shregila lotseis bitzavim ufrodim. She would go out with tzavim, with deer, tzvi is a deer, uviparodim, and mules. In other words, she went out with assets, with wealth. She had in possession enormous wealth. These are things that were considered tzvi and a parod. Chazisa mo also loved it. You see what happened to her? Ala sher yotzosa l'chutz l'aretz. Look at the punishment one suffers for leaving Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's see the next Rashi. Rashi pasuk chaf aleph. No, wait a little. Yeah, okay, let's see the targum. Let's see the list of targum. These two psukim, then we'll stop. The targum of pasuk yutes va'a lozon tar vehoin. They traveled. Both of them traveled ad da'alon until they entered Beis Lechem. V'hava, and it was kad when alon they entered. The Beis Lechem, the Argishu. Argishu means to sense. The people of the city sense. Kol Yosveikar to all of the inhabitants of the city. Alehoin. They gather. I guess they gathered around them. The Argishu upon them. Va'amoron, and they said, Hador Naomi. And they said, Can this truly be Naomi? Okay, so he doesn't seem to add in more than the simple interpretation. Okay, let's go to the next targum. The next targum pasuk about. Pasuk Chaf va'amaras lahoin the targum lo sehivyon kiran li Naomi, you should not call me Naomi, kiroi li miriras nafsha, call me a bitter neshama arum. So in the, here we have something over here, we added word miriras nafsha. call me Moras Nefesh, a bitter person. Arum, because I'm rare, Shakaili Lachta. Lachta means very much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has embittered me very, very much. Okay, so we'll stop over here and we'll pick up tomorrow. Bli Neder.